time in this short little window of opportunity before we get into the message that we can really worship our King. Hallelujah. So just don't worry about what everybody else thinks. You just worry about giving your hearts to the one that matters, your Lord Jesus. Worship Him in spirit and truth. Stand with me today.
Water you turned into wine. You opened the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Into the darkness you shine. Oh, out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. There's none like you.
Our God.
'Cause our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, oh, our God.
Hallelujah, Lord. You're stronger.
Water you turned into wine. You opened the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. There's none like you. Into the darkness you shine. Oh, out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. There's none like you. 'Cause our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, oh, our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, oh, our God. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, oh, our God.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Sometimes it feels like I'm watching from the outside. Sometimes it feels like I'm breathing. But am I alive? I won't keep searching for answers that are near to find. All I know is I'm not home yet. This is not where I belong. Take this world and give me Jesus. This is not where I belong. falling down on me. And when I'm lost in the current of a raging sea, I have this blessed assurance holding me. All I know is I'm not home yet. This is not where I belong. Take this world and give me Jesus. This is not where I belong. When the earth shakes, I want to be found.
Lord, who am I
compared to your majesty. 'Cause I'm your beloved, your creation, and you love me as I am. And you've called me chosen for your kingdom. Unashamed to call me your own. I'm your beloved, your creation, and you love me as I am. And you've called me chosen for your kingdom. Unashamed to call me your own. And I'm your beloved. And I'm your beloved.
Hallelujah, Lord. We are your beloved. And Lord, we're in a place, God, where we just surrender to you, God, and ask for more of your Spirit to flow through us, through this congregation. Lord, as we worship you, as we deny ourselves, pick up our cross and follow you, God, you come. Lord, and you come into our lives, Lord, in a mighty way. So, Lord, we just want to humble ourselves before you and worship you. Hallelujah.
Savior, I come and quiet my soul. Remember redemption's hill, where your blood was spilled for my ransom. And everything I once held dear, I count it all as loss. Lead me to the cross, where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me. Lead me to the cross.
Hallelujah, Lord.
As I tempted and tried, human, the Word became flesh and bore my sin and death. Now you're risen, and everything I once held dear, I count it all as lost. Lead me to the cross, where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me. Lead me to the cross, to your heart. Lead me to your heart. Lead me to your heart. And lead me to the cross, where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me. Lead me to the cross, where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me. Lead me to the cross.
existed before creation. Eternity in your hands. You spoke the earth into motion. My soul now to stand. You stood before my failure and carried the cross for my shame. My sin weighed upon your shoulders. My soul now to stand. So what can I say?
What can I say?
And what can I do?
Oh, what can I do?
But to offer this heart, oh God, completely new. So I'll walk upon salvation. The Spirit alive in me. My life to declare your promise, my soul now to stand. So what can I say?
What can I say?
And what can I do?
Oh, what can I do?
But to offer this heart, oh God, completely you. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand, my soul, Lord, you surrendered all. I am is yours. So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand, my soul, Lord, you surrendered all. I am is yours. All I am is yours. So what can I say?
What can I say?
What can I do?
Oh, what can I do?
But to offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. Hallelujah, God. All we can do is offer our hearts completely to you, God. And so this morning, we say yes and amen to that, God, that we totally individually, God, take this place of surrender before you. And God, ask for your Holy Spirit to come upon us, Lord, and lead us to the place, God, that you've called us to. Bless us today in the Word. In Jesus' name. God, you may be seated.
strength arises, we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, our God. You reign forever, our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak, and you comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. Everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak, and you comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
Hallelujah. So, how many of you guys served in the armed forces? Stand up for me, would you? Hallelujah. Thank you. We have our freedom because people chose to go and fight for our country in different areas of this planet to keep us safe. And so we thank you for that. And we want to recognize all those who've done that. So thank you for all your service and the blessings that you've given us. Hallelujah. So why don't everybody just stand up, shake it off a little bit, and say hi to your neighbor? That'd be okay? Hard to get them back once you start it. Once you start this, hard to get them back. Okay. I'm good. Hey, buddy. Good to see you. Feeling better now? Good. Everybody caught what you had. It's going around. Hallelujah. Well, now that we're not strangers anymore, we love to be family around here. Thankful for love and support. Hallelujah. Well, last week we kicked it off in Matthew, and I didn't quite get through chapter 4, and so I want to go back where I left off and kind of catch up where I left off. I wanted to get clear through that, but I just got so excited about the first part of that, I didn't quite make it. So we're going to get excited about the second part of this, and I'm going to back up just a little bit to recap what we've been, where we've been, and kind of keep it to the forefront of our thinking. And the title today is Led by the Spirit, Tempted by Satan, Part 2, because that was the name of the title of last week's, so is Led by the Spirit, Tempted by Satan. The first part of it, and we went through what do we do with temptation. Remember, I kind of broke down three areas of temptation and how Jesus defeated the enemy with the word. And so everybody knows we get tempted, right? Right? And guess where temptation comes from? Our adversary, right? That is the temptation that comes. We need to know what to do when temptation comes our way, right? And how to respond to it. Now, we are also tested. Sometimes there's some testings in temptation areas. And who gives the testing? Huh? Who tests us? The Lord. Yeah, he puts us through areas of testing, right? In our integrity test and the test of, there's three or four different areas of testings that we need to know that are from the Lord. And if we pass the test, he takes us to the next level. So we know that scriptural. I kind of broke that down before. And then, and so temptation comes from the enemy, testings come from the Lord. And so how we respond to those is how we do with the temptations of the enemy. Now, I want to back up to verse 10 and kind of recap there where, first let's see, three areas of what to do when we're tempted, and the areas that Jesus came back and told us, those three areas of temptation was, what did God say? What did he say? Right, remember what God said and stand firm on that. Because the enemy will try to draw you away or bring in areas of gray area in what God said, and God didn't say that exactly. Remember what he said to Eve and she was tempted in the garden? God didn't say that. Well, yes, he did. Right? So don't let the enemy tell you a lie. We need to know what God said. And then also, don't test God. Don't fall into the temptation of the enemy and expect everything to be peaches and cream. You cannot test God in that area, right? When God said it, you need to do it. If you fall into the area of temptation and sin comes into your life, listen to this. You need to understand the enemy don't just want you a little bit. He wants all of you. And he wants you to just nosedive. Because he needs you to get separate from God. And that's up to us and how we respond to the things. So that was the second thing. The third thing is worship and serve God only. Worship and serve Him only. If you have other areas of your life that you are allowing to go ahead of God, bad choice. Put God first in all things. Whatever Jesus says, immediately do it. Don't hesitate. Don't wait. Don't think it through. Don't ponder on it. Whatever He says, do it. Do it then. Do it quickly and do it with all your heart. Dive in. Listen, those of you that really felt the tug of going and studying to show yourself approved, like 2 Timothy 2:15 says, second level end state is a very heavy commitment. And those that have said yes to that, that is something when you feel the Lord, if you think about that long enough, you're probably going to quit and say, wait a minute, this is more than I want to do. Right? And yes, it probably is more than you want to do, but it's exactly what God wants you to do. He doesn't always put us on the easy road. Right? He usually makes it difficult for us, because then we can see that God's the one that's going to get us through it. Right? If we lean on Him, we'll end up learning how to trust Him more. So we need to listen to what He says immediately. So back up to verse 10, where Jesus said to him, go. Remember, he was in the wilderness and he was being tempted. And his fight against the devil in this last area of temptation, he told the enemy to go. Right? Isn't that what it said? It said, go, Satan. Go away now. I've had enough. And then, because he said to worship God and do it only. So he's going, don't you be tempting me in this area. And I say, enough, flee from me. And what does the Bible say about that? You and I have the ability to say, stop, enough. I'm not going to put up with this anymore. By the blood of Jesus, I will not listen to this stuff. Right? So you can tell him, go, get out of my life. I'm not going to bend to this temptation. Not going to do it. Go. Right? You have the authority. Did any of you guys talk to the enemy that way? Tell him, enough. I'm done in Jesus' name. By the blood of Jesus, I command you to leave now in Jesus' name. Guess what? He has to. He isn't going to mess with you there unless you allow it. See, it's up to you to say, okay, we'll play with this. Right? He will. You won't. If you say go in Jesus' name, he's got no choice but go. You need to. If you don't practice that, you need to start practicing it. Just say no. I've heard that somewhere before. So it goes on to say, then Jesus said to him, go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And then the devil left him. Right? It's exactly what will happen in your world. If you bring the blood of Jesus and what Jesus did on the cross, you can tell him to go, he will go, and he will leave. And behold, an angel came and began to minister him. Listen, as soon as you tell the enemy to buzz off, right, you're not welcome here, I'm not gonna fall to this that you're doing in my life, you will get a feeling of God's with you, right, and he will strengthen you. So here it says the angels came and began to minister to him. And so we're going to pick it up. Remember, I went back to Luke. The passage of Luke is great because I love what it says there, where he doesn't just leave you alone, right? He's going to come back in an opportune time. So you need to practice this behavior in the sense that you're going to stand strong and tell him no. You need to keep telling him no and not allow him to come back into your world. Right? Because he's going to try. And he's not just going to stop trying because you told him to go away. He's going to find a weak point in your life, or maybe even in your family's life. And what I've found out is this. The enemy will attack the weakest link. And where our emotions are, especially in our family life and our world around the Lord, is that we have family issues. We have life in general that we live in. And there's going to be a weak link. And if you're not having prayer cover and understanding who the weak link is and praying a covering over them that the enemy wouldn't get a stronghold in their lives, that's where we shine. That's where the Holy Spirit will give us understanding we pray over the weakest link, and then we help them be strong, right? Because we know they're going to be weak. Maybe they're struggling somewhere, and you know that. Because of your emotion of your family member, your husband or your wife or your children, your immediate family, the enemy uses it all the time, doesn't he? Right? You guys have been there. You know what I'm talking about. If there's a weak link, it's our job to come in and build and strengthen the weak link. And do that by the power of the Spirit, by praying for them, being there, praying over them, and being there in the sense that God and you work together to help them in the area of weakness. Because the enemy will come in like a flood. He will. And so that's our job. So let's kick it off in verse 12. We're going to kick it off there and start into that passage where we left off. So it says, now, when Jesus heard that John had been taken into custody, he withdrew into Galilee. Now, if you guys have read the story of John the Baptist, you know what happened to him. And it wasn't long after Jesus started into his ministry that the king took him into captivity and kept him in prison. And then we'll get to that in chapter 14. You can read ahead if you want. But John fulfilled his part when he made the way for Jesus to come. Right? And that was his job, is to get people baptized in repentance, to repent, to see Jesus and who he was. And then he made the way. And then we'll go on and find out what happens to John if you don't know already. So when we're finished, when our job is finished here, we will go home to be with the Lord. And then while you're here, right, you're still at work, right? You're not done yet. And I know that there's people that go, well, I want to retire. Well, sorry, you know, there's really no retirement written in Scripture. In fact, it's just the opposite. The more freedom you get from the world because you've established yourself a little more, your retirement is more like, it's time for me to give all my time to the Lord and just some of it, right? And I remember talking to Dan. He's more busy now since he's retired than he was when he was working. And he's got a lot going on because he's doing things for the Lord. And it's true for those who are working for the kingdom of the Lord. I mean, it's like there's always something to do. But it is truly a blessing to do so. So verse 13, and leaving Nazareth, he came and settled in Capernaum, that's a weird word, which is by the sea in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. Zebulun and Naphtali is one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And so they, in the Old Testament, if you remember, that land was broken up into the 12 tribes, and they took a portion of the land, of the inheritance. And so this land was Zebulun and Naphtali's part where Jesus went into. And so this was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, and this was a prophecy that was spoken by Isaiah, and here's what he said. He said, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the of the Gentiles, the people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light. And when I read that, I thought, wow, where Jesus is, there's light. Right? They were in darkness, but Jesus came into that land, and there was light. And it is not changed today. Where Jesus is, there's light. And we're talking in your heart, in your life, in your walk before the Lord. If Jesus is present in your life, there's going to be light. And light will shine from you. You once was sitting in darkness, but when Jesus came in, there's the spirit of light that comes upon you, the joy of the peace of understanding of that you have what you need. And by the Holy Spirit, you walk in light. And the only way that light can get snuffed out is if you walk away from Jesus and walk away from the call of God in your life. And so the people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light, and those who were sitting in the land and shadow of death, upon them a light dawned. It's a great picture for us individually. Right? You can sit in dark if you want to, but when Jesus comes in, what a light that shined, and you get to see who you are in Christ, and then start developing your relationship forward in what he's called you to do. From that time, Jesus began to preach. So his ministry started in verse 17 here. He went through all the testings. He passed the test, and he started his ministry. Now, I got to say this, you guys. In order for you to get into the place of ministry, you're going to have to pass some tests. You have temptations. You have to say no to those temptations. As soon as you overcome the enemy in those areas, your ministry will certainly begin. You will be able to speak in people's lives, and there will be power in it. Remember what Luke said, if you read that passage of Scripture, when Jesus was tempted, he came out of the wilderness, and the enemy left him for an opportune time, and then it said the power of the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus to do the work of ministry. Right? So it's not, I'm not just speaking this. This is truth for any of us. So from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Is the kingdom of heaven at hand today? Absolutely. And remember, I taught before that the kingdom of heaven is present now. It's present in you and I as we walk those truths out in the Lord and we show that light to others. The kingdom of present is here now today. It's also to come as we move into the heavenly area that God has created for us. The kingdom of heaven is there, so it's present now and it's present then. Two areas of the kingdom of heaven. So 18 says, now as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Now, I gotta say this, when in your life and my life, there comes a time in our life where we hear the voice of the Lord calling us, don't we? I mean, we're Christians. We've walked in the Christian, and either there's two things that happen. You're either going to just live your Christian life and be saved and walk out that salvation in a go-to-church, go-home routine, or you're going to go dive deeper into God's call in your life, and you're going to start getting your relationship to grow, and you're going to hear the call of the Lord to be specific in your ministry, whatever that is. And that doesn't mean that you're all going to be pastors, right? That doesn't what that means. It means that you are going to be consistently doing what God has called you to do in your life, whether it's ministering to your children, your family, your people at work. Whatever that is, God's going to strengthen you to be that minister for that place that you're in. And then if he's calling you into like a fivefold ministry area, you'll know that too. He's pulling you into the area of teacher, pastor, evangelist, apostle, and prophet. Those are the five. That's the fivefold ministry. That's the call of some. He gave some. If you read the passage of Scripture, it says he didn't give that to everyone. He gives that to some to be that. Right. So if you're in that area, you know that, and you're just drawn toward it, and the Holy Spirit just kind of draws you in that area, and so. What we're looking at here is what Jesus' ministry into the place where he's called individuals. So he called Peter off the boat, but he was casting his net. He was just working. He loved the Lord. He knew God, right? Because he was a Jew, so he understood what that was all about, relation, what God was and who he was. He knew that much. And then when he seen Jesus, that light came into his life, And so he immediately followed him, and it says this, and it says, so he says, casting the net to the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. What is the first word in verse 20? What does it say? Immediately. If God's going to call you, you cannot second guess that. You can't sit around and go, okay, well, maybe I will after I bury my father. Or, remember when he called the rich young ruler? He said, oh, well, I'd love to, but I can't do it right now. I can't make that commitment to you now because I have responsibility. Listen, the very first commitment you need to make is to follow Christ with all your heart, all that you are. Everything else will be added unto you. Right? But the first thing is to give your heart to the Lord wholly, not just a little bit, not just part of it, but wholly. Devoted unto God in every area of your life. And then the challenge is going to be there, trust me. But when you take that step forward and give yourself all to the Lord, that's step one. And so when you hear the call of God in your life and in your heart, immediately do it. Don't wait. Today is your day of salvation, immediately. Don't wait. So they left their nets, and they followed him. Immediately they just left their work, and they followed Jesus. You know, and that's pretty radical, right? That's a radical deal for them to do such things. And I remember when the Lord did that to me. I heard the call, and I answered the call. It took a while for me to get to that place where he was calling me to, right? Not unlike these disciples. I mean, everything just didn't happen, right? They went through a teaching process. They walked with Jesus. They learned from him. And then when he left them with the power of the Holy Spirit. What happened to Peter in this walk with the Lord? I mean, it is not unlike us, right? We're following Jesus, and we immediately called him, and we said, "Yes, Lord, I'm with you." And then we start going through these life processes to get to the place of right where God wants us to be. And when he called him, he followed. Then he got filled with the Spirit later, right? Remember? Because when Jesus left, he said, "I send you the Comforter." They went to the upper room, and guess what happened in that walk? Peter denied him. I mean, absolutely said, "No, I don't know that guy." And he did it three times. Not just once, three times. But as soon as the Holy Spirit came upon him, he had strength to do what God had called him to do. That's the opportunity for me and you that we have right here, right now. If we're struggling in the area of following Christ with all that we are, if we feel like walking, you know, I don't want to dive that deep with you, Lord, because it's gonna wreck my world. It's gonna mess up my gig. Right? He's not into messing up your gig. He's into making your gig way better. Right? To enhance your life, your walk with the Lord. And so we walk in this area of not sure, show me first. And then maybe, right? But that's not the case with the Lord. He's saying, "You trust in me with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight." If you're trying to do it the other way around, guess what? You're going to go around the mountain. You'll continually find yourself in an area of struggle. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Am I lying to you? No, you know what I'm talking about. We've all been there. In some way or another. So this relationship change is when we say, "Okay, Lord, I give in, I quit, I'm going to immediately do whatever you ask me to do." So immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee. This is an interesting passage of scripture. I don't know if you guys caught this, but he does it for a reason. But he says, he's going on, and he saw James, two other brothers, James and the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father. You guys catch that? He made that statement twice. He said, first, these brothers were in their boat with their father, and they stated that it was the father was there, and then he stated it again. And then he said, they were mending their nets, and he called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father, there he said it again, and followed Jesus. There is an element of us leaving what we're used to, are comfortable with, to follow the Lord. Right? It was the family business. These boys worked for their dad. And their dad, I'm sure, was in a place of agreeing with this point of go follow him. And if we have family members that we're hanging on to, or maybe even enabling in them in some way from taking that big step to follow the Lord, we need to let them go. Listen, if you're enabling your children, if they're making mistakes and you know it, right, but you're trying to fix the fix that God's got them in, right? Then it becomes a problem. If you let them go out into with Jesus, wherever God's taken them, you'll truly be blessed for it. But man, that's a tough call, isn't it? Isn't it? Don't you want to fix? Don't you want to hold them back? Say, "Man, you're my son, my daughter. I want to take care of them. And so you find yourself making their payments because they can't make it, or something else. The best thing you can do is let them get a big relationship with the Lord so that they can learn to follow Him. Here's something I've realized. That in Scripture it talks about how the enemy devours our finances. Right? You guys can go look at that up. Look it up, Malachi. It talks about how if we don't have a relationship with God and learn the principle of giving to Him so that we have that relationship and He knows that we put Him first in everything, then what we're doing is we're allowing the enemy to devour the things that God's given us, our finances. The enemy will devour your finances because you haven't given it to the Lord first. Go look it up. It's an amazing study. And I think that a lot of people are afraid to give because they don't have it to give. Right? And it's not just the area of finances. It's our lives. It's our lives. We need to give our life to the Lord. If we're holding back our lives from God, the principle is the enemy tries to devour us. And so it's up to us whether or not we choose to give up everything to the Lord so that the enemy don't have room to devour us. It can't devour something that's not us, that's not ours. It's His. And He certainly isn't going to take it away from the Lord. Right? And so our area of walk with the Lord has to be totally devoted, immediately following Him. And so these guys, these boys, immediately they left the boat and their father and followed Him. 23. Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. And what we find out here is God's the relation. The closer we get to God, the more we're going to see the miraculous. I can prove it. You go to a third world country where they don't have any other way out, and you're going to find the miraculous. You'll find God showing up and doing things like you're going, whoa. Right? Anytime you get away from us fixing it and allowing God to fix it, you're going to see God's hand in it. I don't know if you guys ever been out of this country long enough to see that, but them people that don't have what we have, because we're so rich, 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 rich. Well, we're in debt, but I mean, literally, we don't know we're poor yet. We're going to, but in that area of us relying on God for everything, we don't know what that looks like. We don't, because we've never been raised in trust in the Lord with all our heart. We trust in our doctors, our finances, you know, our jobs. We trust in all of that first. Then when all of that fails, we slip into the area of, oh God, nothing else is working, I'll come to You. But what we really should do is go there first. Get to that place first. And so Jesus was going throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogue and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. That now, 24, remember that's where I'm at. When we look at healings and sicknesses and stuff, I got to tell you that we look at these things sometimes in a box, right? And God looks way outside the box when it comes to areas like this. When you see, Jesus said, He said, greater things you'll see than this. When He was doing miracles, remember? He was doing miracles all over the place. But what did He tell His disciples? He said, listen, you guys are going to see greater things than these, than this. And all I can say is if you step out of your box, you're going to see that that has been so true. Absolutely true. You look at the world today and how technology and understanding has cured diseases by the billions. You know, polio, smallpox, all kinds of different diseases that have come upon the world. There's been people who have worked and found out that there are miracles that have taken place. I mean, they're trying to cure cancer now. I mean, those things God has a hand in. You don't think that He does? He does. He knows the perfect timing when these things need to be taken care of. And if we don't recognize that God is the God of all of that, then we've missed it. Step out of the box. It's not about just somebody coming forward and getting a foot healed, right? That's part of it, but it's bigger than that, way bigger. And God's been at work all along in miraculous ways, and we need to recognize it and give Him thanks for it. Otherwise, you and I would still be having diseases that are killing people by the droves. But no, it's been cured. And God was in the middle of all of that, helping mankind. And so the enemy wants to destroy, God's there to help. I mean, there's things that are taking place right now in the technical world that they couldn't have, people would have died from. I mean, cesarean sections, you guys know that ladies, women died, by the thousands because of birth problems. You hardly ever hear of any area of problem there now. They just deal with it. It's amazing. And so life has come forth because of those miraculous things. And so greater things that we see than what's taking place there, and we take it for granted. We do. We go, well, where's God? Well, He's been there all along, been doing great and wonderful things. And so Jesus is healing. Verse 24, the news about Him spread throughout Syria, and they brought to Him all who were ill, those suffering with various diseases and pains, demonics, epileptics, paralytics, and He healed them. Large crowds followed Him from Galilee and from Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. When Jesus showed up, He showed His power as a human. He was all God, all human, and He used what He had, and He did what the Father said. My heart to you is this: we need to immediately do what God says. Right? Don't take time to process. We'll find ourselves back to the area of saying, "I should have done that, 5 years ago." I remember telling Larry, when I was supposed to finish school, I took a year off, right? And I did it because I had the business running strong, and I was really buried in a lot of work, and I wasn't doing well with school, and I felt like I can't do both. I remember saying to the Lord, "God, I can't do this. I can't do it." And the reality is, I couldn't, right? But through Him, I wished I would have stayed right put and finished it earlier. I wished I would have. Now I look back and say I wished, because I seen that it just took me longer to get where God wanted me to go, and it was because of my leaning on my understanding and not God's understanding. And so, where are you in that? How many places in your life have you said, "God, I just can't do it," and so you said, "It must not be meant to be, because it's way harder than I can do, so I'm not going to do it"? That's when you need to lean not on your own understanding and follow what God's saying. Because listen, it might be hard. Yeah, I'm not saying it ain't going to be. Ain't is a word now, by the way. I'm not saying it isn't going to be hard, but I am going to say this: if God's called you to it, He'll get you through it. And so if we stop or back up, we're going to go around the mountain. We'll come back here a year or two later with the opportunity that God whispers into our heart, and we'll have to start from that point. But either way, He never leaves us or forsakes us. He's always calling us to a deeper walk with Him and a directional path the way He wants us to go. I got to tell you this, this is not a church where you can just come and sit and be a church sitter. A pew sitter, right? It just doesn't. For us, we are going to push you to where God's called you. Our call is that we equip the saints for works of service. If it's just a show, right? Then we're not doing what we're called to do. And so, yes, you guys are going to feel uncomfortable. And I know that some of you guys sitting in these seats, I can say, yeah, Dave, you have stretched me beyond what I would rather do, right? And I know if John was here, he would be saying amen. That's Lydia's husband. Because every time he gets around me, he goes, "Oh man, are you going to stretch me again, Dave?" Yes, I am, by the way. And he knows it. That's why he tries to stay away from me. That's why he's not here. No, that's not why he's not here. But our call as leaders of this church is to equip you as the saints for works of service. What has God called you to do? And when he calls you off the boat, and what that means is he's calling you off this treadmill of life, and he's getting you to see the bigger picture. You know, and there is. This is not our home, people. It isn't where we need to lay all our treasures up, right? Sure. Exactly what the Lord said. Yeah, worse than
a major.
Yeah.
And they brought in all these dump trucks and they put 200 loads of dirt to the top. And they couldn't do any building. And then I said, you know, I'm here on the shower, they can't build, it doesn't look possible. And I said to them, well, I can play the scene for you. Because you know why it's so that way you can go out. And I got out of the shower, unattended, with my whole entire body, I had to stay in the night to pray. Otherwise, I was going to lose it. I was really going to lie to you. I'm crazy. I'm very vulnerable, okay? 2 weeks, I have no place to live, and people coming in to live in this apartment. And everybody says I can't do it. And Scott called me and said, did you read your email? And I said, no, I can't read. I'm just crazy.
Thank you.
That's funny. No, it's good. That's the way God works.
I know that.
You never know what God's going to do. And it's kind of fun, because watch and see what God's going to do. If we give it to the Lord, watch and see what he'll do. His plans are always not ours. I mean, usually, you know, things that change and move in the direction that God wants us to do. And you don't know where he's going to take you, but you know it's going to be good. Right? You know it's going to be good, because he's got a plan, and your testimony is going to be rich and real, like today. And all of you guys have a story. I mean, I could tell you many. I've told you mine. I've told you my story, and it was a step of faith for me. I mean, I probably didn't tell you this one, but we got 5 minutes. I'm going to share it with you. Just because of what you shared. Joey and I, we bought a house in Bend. When we sold our other house, we bought a house in Bend, and we stayed there to finish school and get our stuff done. And Joey told me, she said, "Dave, I really feel like the Lord wants us to sell this house." And we had it for maybe 2 years. Okay, so I said, "What? That don't make no sense to me, right? We're not done yet, right? We need to hang on to it for a little longer." And I don't know if you guys remember what was happening in the markets of houses, but things were happening, and it was peaking. I mean, it was like their houses were worth a ton, and I was going, "Man, why would we want to sell it now?" You know, and so anyway, she'd said that, so I went and I said, "Okay, I'll pray about it." So I went to a men's retreat, and the Lord confirmed it, said, "Yep, you're supposed to do it." So I go back. We put it up for sale by owner, put a sign out on the property, and it wasn't even a week went by. This guy shows up, right? And he says, "Well, I don't know if you guys know God," right? He doesn't know nothing about us. And he says, "But the Lord spoke to me to buy your house for what you're asking with no haggling, just to pay you what you're asking." Right? So, I mean, when God says something, he will confirm it. And so when we step out in faith to believe and to trust in the Lord, God will take you to the place he's called you to go. It's all about having faith and immediately listening and obeying. And we see his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts aren't our thoughts. And so we need to allow him to do our thinking for us, right? And allow him to take us to the place he's called us to be. If we hang on, it's possible we'll lose it. Right? But if you let go, you'll gain. He says, "Those who seek to save their lives will what? Those who give their lives for my sake will gain life." And it's a simple principle of the Lord. And he gives it to us over and over and over in Scripture. And the reality is, what are you trying to hang on to that you know God said to let go of? What did he tell you to let go of and you're still hanging on to it? And that's where we're going to leave it today. Hallelujah, Lord. We want to give you all these things, Lord. Immediately follow you. Lord, and just like the title of this message, led by the Spirit and tempted by Satan. Lord, if there's temptation going on in this room, Lord, I pray against it in Jesus' name. Father, I cover every area of life here now with just what you've done on the cross for us. God, that we can trust in you because you first loved us, Lord. You want the best for us. And so I ask, God, for your Holy Spirit to fall upon us right now. Lord, that you would speak to us individually in areas of our life, Lord, where we need to let go. And you've said to let go. And now we're asking for strength, God, to do the work. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is the place where we need to really be obedient to you and say yes to you, God. And so whatever you're calling us to let go of, we know that we will gain when we let go and let you take over. So Lord, I pray, God, that you'd give us strength to do that. Lord, and then we're looking for the miraculous to take place so that you will get a great witness, Lord, a great testimony on our part for what you've done in our lives. We've heard that today. We've heard a testimony today. And Scott and Julie are still in the element of not knowing what's going to happen. But Lord, we're anxious to see what you're going to do. We're anxious to see what you're going to do. A miracle that you're going to pull out of the hat again. Lord, and it's amazing what you do in our life. So God, help us all to step out in faith. Lord, I pray for the in-state students, the ones that have said yes to second level. Lord, I pray, God, that you would bless them and, Lord, strengthen them in this time when they really need to be excited about what's going to happen in the next couple of years. Lord, that they'd be strong and courageous. And Lord, for those that have a heart to go on and to do study in first level in-state, Lord, I pray that you would confirm that word in their heart. Lord, that they would step up and to show themselves approved, Lord, and to study your word intently, God, and that you would bless them for it. Thank you for this service, God. Bless us. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. God, give us strength. And Lord, we're thankful for all that you do. God, bless our fellowship, Lord, and our coffee and cookies and all that goes on in the life of East Valley Church. God, that you continue your work in us. In Jesus' name. Thank you, guys. Go have a peanut butter cookie.